Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning, the 24th of August, 2020. Andrew Mazer with you for the next half an hour as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. Let's get started straight away with the footy from yesterday, where Geelong got a little bit of a fright, but were able to close out a 28-point win over the Crows.
What a season he's having, Tom Hawkins, leading the way in the competition as the best in the business when it comes to kicking goals, and he shows that when the pressure was intense.
Brisbane snuck home yesterday by 2 points over St Kilda at the Gabba.
It has been a thriller. Riders high ball. McCluggage has kicked forward. Babbling about. Rayner. And the Lions have won it. At top of the table. Clash of the Gabba. Good place for a big match.
And GWS came late, but they were never really in it against the Eagles. West Coast winning by 2 goals.
Swings round. Quick football. That's better.
Oh! Goes McGovern. He's a joy to watch, isn't he?
Better football because they got it in quickly, but that just allowed McGovern a real up and launch, and he has taken a screamer.
Meanwhile, in the A-League last night, fantastic news for Western United. In their first season in the league, they are just 1 win off an A-League grand final.
He's going for goal! And then Alessandro Diamanti, the player of the year, has stunned Jamie Young and produced something special on the big stage. Of course he has. What a player.
And it was a clean sweep in the top end for Scotty McLaughlin, who did it again.
And he zigzags to the line with a triple treat of victories for the second time at Darwin.
Yeah, he is the king of Darwin, Scott McLaughlin. We'll hear from him and all the key players from every sport over the weekend next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Half Whitey and Rammer on your Monday, and a lot to get through as well. Robbie Griffiths will be a guest nice and early on the show too, just to give us the latest with that COVID scare in racing on Friday. Racing Victoria again dealing swiftly with a potential outbreak, but good news coming through yesterday that everyone in that Cranbourne training complex who been tested has tested negative. So Robbie Griffiths will give us a bit more of an update of what happens over the next couple of days there. The early mail before 7 o'clock, then Jimmy Bartel to join the guys after 7 this morning, and looking forward to hearing from Mark Rodan after 8 o'clock this morning, the A-League coach who crossed from Wellington last year and made the move to Western United, and in their first season they'll play Melbourne City on Wednesday for a spot in the grand final. Fantastic story in their inaugural season. We'll hear more from Mark Rodan a little later in the Breakfast Bite, but let's head to the footy news from yesterday. 3 games played and 3 expected winners, although not as you'd think. Geelong got a bit of a scare until they were able to break away late with a 28-point victory. The final score there, the Cats 9-11-65 to the Crows 5-7-37. A much improved performance. Tom Hawkins kicking at 3 goals for Geelong. Let's hear from Chris Scott on the win.
A credit to the way Adelaide came out and played. They clearly had a plan and were really good around the ball. Their plan was dependent on some fierce work into the contest, and they certainly brought that. So it took us a long time to get the game on our terms. Certainly wasn't a spectacle early. There was some congestion around the ball, which is normally okay for us, but you know, the opposition were pretty good. It's very, very easy to look at the whole season and make assumptions about the way teams are going to play, but that's a mistake, especially when you're involved in it, you know, to assume anything. Well, the most important thing is the win. It's we don't take them for granted, and we've spoken about that over a long period of time. It's a tough school, this one we're in. It's difficult to sustain high performance for a long period of time, and as soon as you get ahead of yourself and assume things in the game, you're going to get bitten pretty quickly. So, but even then, I think our players, you know, everyone in the competition, they're human. You know, they're going in the back of their mind, I suspect, with a little voice in the back of their head hoping it's going to be a bit easier. And the real pros squash that voice pretty quickly. So I'm not sure whether our attitude was a little bit off. I think if if I make that assumption, I think it's been a bit disrespectful to the opposition. If you take the game on face value, they were pretty hot around the ball early and couldn't quite take their chances a few times, but they looked really competitive.
Yesterday afternoon, it was the Brisbane Lions closing out a two-point victory over St Kilda. 6 goals, 14-50 to the Saints, 7-6-48, who had a couple of chances late to win it. They couldn't take their opportunities, and the Lions clock up another win. They currently sit second on the ladder. Let's hear from Chris Fagan after what was a pretty tense last quarter.
It would have been a loss that would have been incredibly disappointing if it had occurred. You know, I thought in the first quarter and in the third quarter we dominated the game. We obviously didn't get the result on the scoreboard that we were after. You always make yourself vulnerable because the opposition will get some momentum at some point in time. But I'll tell you what I was really pleased about. I reckon when I look at the tape the last 3 or 4 minutes, the acts of desperation from our players to smother the ball, to spoil the ball. They obviously had a massive desire to win tonight. It was an ugly win in the end, but you could see that they wanted the win. And that's really encouraging from a coaching perspective. The goal kicking continues to be a problem for us, and we'll continue to work hard to improve it as we are. So there's probably nothing more I can say about that. The thing about the Brisbane Lions boys is they care about the team and they want the team to do well. So when they feel like they're letting the team down, I think that probably weighs on them psychologically a little bit, and they think more about the result than the actual process itself. But that's a maturity thing, and it'll come. I know it'll come because I've watched them at training, and they have days where they hardly miss. So work in progress, won't shy away from it. We can deservedly be criticised for our accuracy in front of goal, but we've still been able to win games of footy.
In the late game last night, the Giants kicked 4 goals in the last quarter, but that covered over the cracks a little as West Coast were comfortable the whole afternoon. The final score, 9-7-61, the Eagles defeating the Giants 7-7-49. Let's hear from Adam Simpson after a win where they weren't too worried in the final term, but I want to improve that going forward.
Oh, really happy with the win. Yeah, really happy. We knew this was going to be a bit of a fight, yeah, with the Giants coming off a disappointing game. Getting that early lead was important, and they didn't stop. So a lot of the stats don't look great, but we'll take the win and we'll move on. Yeah, Nick set us up and Gov probably saved us. And between that, we had some really good performances and probably didn't handle the run on as well as we would have liked in the last 15 minutes. But apart from that, we thought we played a quality side on the rebound, almost full strength. So to get the win, we're really happy with our players. But we've got the Tigers this week, and you know, we've got to go up another level to compete with them. We've won a few games. I think we've probably established a strong identity with how we're playing. I feel like we lost our way early up in Queensland. Reviewed a few things, worked on a couple of things from a leadership point of view, and then we carried out on field. So, yeah, I think there's a reasonably good brand that stands up, and we weren't at our best tonight, but overall we got it done. So, yeah, I think that combined with our leaders, we're in a reasonably good space, but we've got a big block coming up. You know, we've got Tigers in 4 days, and then we've got our little compressed seasons in front of us where a lot of clubs have sort of gone through that. So our real test is what's in front of us.
Still another game tonight to come in round 13, of course, with Collingwood taking on North Melbourne at the Gabba. We'll hear from both coaches later in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the A-League now. This is a great news story that is starting to develop. Mark Redan and his men at Western United, 1-0 winners over Brisbane. So they go through to the semi-final to take on Melbourne City on Wednesday night. So there will be a Melbourne team in the grand final in the A-League. We're just not sure who it will be at this stage. As you heard off the top, Diamante firing in about a 25-metre shot, caught the keeper off guard. It was a brilliant free kick. And Mark Redan had a chuckle with him afterwards. Here's why.
Yeah, he'd probably tell you it was 45 metres, and it was a long way out. We had a feeling before the game, and I said to him as well, I've got a feeling we're going to get a free kick and you're going to score one. And a little bit surprised by that, but he's been waiting for that all year. He says, I've been waiting all year to get free kicks, but we never get free kicks, you know. And I said, let's see how it goes. And I guess that's partly why he kind of ran up to us, and we had a bit of a chuckle and a laugh about it. But hey, that's, you know, finals football is about minimising mistakes. It's about being defensively solid, and it's about taking your opportunities and creating the moments. You know we've got match winners. And it was Diamante tonight who created the moment and provided the match-winning moment as well. So, you know, I still think there's more to come from Dia and also from the rest of the players. There were things there that we can improve on still. I wasn't entirely happy, but, you know, in a one-off game, the thing that most pleased me was how we defended so stoutly, so disciplined in our structure, and we know we can do that when we have to.
Mark Redan speaking there yesterday. He'll join the guys after 8 this morning. Looking forward to hearing from the Western United coach. To the Supercars now, where Scott McLaughlin got the Triple Crown again in Darwin. He's king of the top end. Here he was after what he described as one of the best weekends in his career.
I love it. Love the people, love the track. And I love it when my car is like that. That's hands down probably the best car I've ever driven. Just all weekend, it was just so solid and good start, and then able to use our tyres and what we wanted to do. And so proud of everyone. They worked so hard behind the scenes, and everyone back at home as well. Just really proud of everyone.
Your qualifying form has been impeccable. Your race form has been impeccable. The starts look like they're being improved along the run. Do you feel that you've got all the tools now to just go on with the job?
Yeah, look, I have a great, like Fabian as a teammate starting, he's unbelievable, and I'll be able to really learn off him over the last couple of years, and he's still phenomenal on the starts, as you can see in the replays. But I'm just trying to be just as good. We have a little comp in the team, and he's absolutely smashing me. But if I got one back, I'm happy.
A very happy Scott McLaughlin yesterday. Let's head to the cricket world now. Steve Smith spoke before he and the rest of the Australian ODI and T20 squad jetted off for England ahead of the series to be played in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I do like batting there. Unfortunately, there's no crowd there to sort of egg me on and give me a bit more motivation. But, there's going to be plenty of eyes on the TV, I know, watching. And, it's just going to be great to be back out there playing. I've watched a bit of the test matches so far that England have played, and they've been playing some pretty good cricket. So, we obviously know their white ball cricket over the last few years has been exceptional. So, it's going to be a good series. And really excited.
While we're on cricket, that live cricket that Steve Smith was talking about, England 8 for 583 declared in their first innings at Southampton in the third and final test against Pakistan. Pakistan all out for 273 overnight, and Jimmy Anderson took another fifer.
Edge, does it carry? Yes. They catch it eventually. Jimmy Anderson has yet another fifer, his 29th fifer in test match cricket. He is an outstanding bowler.
Yeah, an incredible record he has, Jimmy Anderson, especially in England. And another 5 wickets last night. Pakistan all out for 273. So they trailed by 310 runs at the end of day 3. We'll keep you posted on the scores as they roll in over the next couple of mornings. Speaking of scores rolling in, time for a break. On the other side of this, there is so much to get through. Lots of golf happened overnight. The NRL from yesterday and some live Champions League action as well. It's the final between PSG and Bayern. We'll tell you how it's tracking next on The Breakfast Bite.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Good looking putt from long gas. Great looking putt. He moves to 8 under, back-to-back birdies. Is it the Frenchman's time?
Yeah, it was indeed the Frenchman's time as he waited on the hill, literally, for the rest of the field to finish. And it ended up that he was 2 shots ahead of everyone. So Romain Legasque winning over on the European Tour, the Wales Open overnight at 8 under, 2 shots clear of the field. The best of the Australians, Jason Scrivener, another top 10 finished. He finished at 3 under the card in a tie for 8th position. So another nice result for him. He just keeps on being Mr. Consistency over there in Europe. Let's hear from the Frenchman after the win.
It's long, but as you say, when you came back from 5 shots and you are in this position, it's always good. So It's long, but it's such a good pressure and such a good moment, so I just enjoyed my time now.
this victory takes you to sixth in the mini order of merit, the UK swing mini order of merit, 97th in the world ranking, which is your highest ever ranking, obviously one big performance potentially from top 50. And also you'll play now in your first ever US Open. How excited about all that?
Yeah, you know, golf, everything can go so quick. I'm really, really happy. This is where we all want to be. And now I will have some good opportunities and me to focus again and to play my best golf. But, you know, it's where I'm looking forward to go and playing my first US Open this year. Also, a good thing is that no public, so it's less pressure for first one. So just really happy and really proud of myself.
Just to bring it up to date with some live scores in the Europe on the PGA Tour, rather, Dustin Johnson is home and hosed, you'd have to say, in the Northern Trust at TPC Boston. This is the first of the season-ending playoffs. $9.5 million up for grabs, too. He is 26 under the card. 4 under through 5 in his final round, Dustin Johnson. So he looks set for a victory. 7 shots ahead of anyone. Harris English in second, 19 under the card. Danny Lee and Ryan Palmer at 17 under the card in a tie for third. So the best of the Aussies there is Cameron Davis, who was high on the leaderboard, but unfortunately stumbled a little bit during Saturday's round, and he's currently 13 under the card, 13 shots off the pace. But he's still inside the top 16, so hopefully he can close nicely. Still got 8 holes to go in his round, the young Australian. Cameron Smith finished at, he's still 1 under through 12, so he's 11 under the card at the moment. In terms of the other Australians, Adam Scott finished at 6 under the card with 4 under in his final round. Matt Jones finished at 2 over with an even par final round. So we'll keep an eye on that for you throughout the morning, but looks like Dustin Johnson is home and hosed. Unfortunately for Minji Lee, she wasn't able to come from behind overnight either in the Women's British Open, with Popov from Germany winning at 7 under the card in very windy conditions at Royal Troon. It was a little better on the final day. She shot 3 under in her final round. Minji Lee finishing at 3 under the card. She was 4 shots behind Popov, who won at 7 under. So well done to the German for a breakthrough major victory. Couple of scores from the Super Netball yesterday. 63-58, the Vixens beat the Giants, so the Vixens continue their good early season form. And the Lightning 53 beat the Thunderbirds 45. Those two results coming in yesterday. More to come midweek as well in the netball too. Let's head to the NRL results from yesterday. Couple of wins. First of all to Newcastle, who were too good in the end for their opponents late yesterday. North Queensland, who didn't actually score a point. 12-0 the final score, and Canterbury still rooted to the bottom of the table with another loss. They went down to the Warriors, 20 points to 14 in the earlier game. So a couple of results in the NRL. But interesting news here from James Hooper last night on Anthony Seibold's potential payout at the Broncos, rumoured to have been offered $1 million to walk away.
Yeah, so it's a 5-year deal, as we've discussed at length, with a 6-year option. He's in the second season of that. So by rights, Anthony Seibold to walk away, if he wants a full payout, he's entitled to $3.2 million. This is a smart play and the right play from the Brisbane Broncos. We know he's been in that COVID hold, dealing with those family issues that he had to step away from the Brisbane Broncos for a couple of weeks to try and handle. But this is the best move by the Broncos. Try and draw a line under it, move on, and they can begin trying to repair the damage. It clearly didn't work, the Anthony Seibold experiment. It's a no-brainer. It has to happen. We've discussed it at length how many times over the course of this year already. It just didn't work, and the best thing that the Broncos can do to get some clean oxygen is go and sign Kevin Walters or Paul Green, begin the rebuild.
So we'll wait to see what happens over the next couple of days, but could be another coach gone in the NRL. I think that would be 5 for the season during COVID, when we thought coaches would be pretty safe. But yeah, the merry-go-round might continue on. Let's just catch up with a bit of live NBA action as well, as the Celtics are currently in action against the 76ers. In fact, that game has just finished, 110 to 106. So Boston take that series 4-0, and Ben Simmons and the 76ers tumble out which was a pretty disappointing campaign for them. Interesting to see what happens with Brett Brown now, the coach as well. Meanwhile, one live game going on at the moment after the completion of that earlier game. The Mavericks 5 lead the Clippers 4, just a couple of minutes into the first quarter there. The Clippers leading that series 2-1. Couple more games to come today. The Nets will play the Raptors. Toronto leading that series 3-0, and the Jazz to take on the Nuggets, with Utah leading that series 2-1. So I'll keep you updated on those scores as they roll in throughout the morning, both on The Breakfast Club and also RSN Central. Let's head back to the footy, or actually just before we get back to the footy world, Champions League final. It is halftime at the moment, Paris Saint-Germain 0, and they're taking on Bayern Munich, who haven't scored as well. So 0-0 at halftime. PSG clearly having the better first half chances, but not able to put one in the back of the net. So we'll keep you updated on that over the next 45 minutes after they resume from the break. Just to the footy news now, a little bit of news off the field yesterday as the MRO handed down his decisions. Dylan Grimes was charged, first of all, with striking. He can cop $750 for that. But the interesting one was he was charged with staging during the second quarter of the Dreamtime clash up at TIO Stadium. So he can accept a $750 sanction with an early guilty plea. Tom Lynch was charged with striking, and he has been sent straight to the tribunal. Three strikes and you're out, clearly. Tom Lynch, that's a fascinating one. The guys will, I'm sure, have plenty to say on that after six this morning. And interesting, Nick Vlosten also charged with staging out of that affair up in the north, or in the top end. So plenty of news from the MRO yesterday. It'll all be dissected, and I'm sure Jimmy Bartel will have plenty to say about that after seven on The Breakfast Club. Let's head and focus in on tonight's game. It is Collingwood taking on North Melbourne. We'll hear from Nathan Buckley, first of all, on Steele Sidebottom, who will be heading home from the Hub.
Yeah, Steele made the call with Alicia about a month ago that he was going to head back, and yeah, he's got an exciting period of his life that he's about to head back for on the other side of Monday. What it looks like on return, we don't know. It'll depend on when Alicia has the bubs, and then on how all of that settles before we even consider the capacity to get him back up into Queensland. But yeah, there's a little bit unknown there as we've faced with this reality throughout the season. But we're looking forward to obviously Monday, and then Steele's pretty excited about what is a pretty amazing period of a young man's life, and obviously a young couple for their first baby to come along.
Therese Shaw now from the North Melbourne perspective. How are they going to be treating the end of the season with that five games remaining for the Roos?
Obviously, it hasn't been the ideal season for us, but I think the final five games and even last week we spoke about the opportunity that we've got as a football team to start creating something and giving ourselves some momentum going into next year and getting the best out of the opportunity we got in front of us. And I think last week was a really good step for us in terms of the way we want to play and how we want to go about it. We've had a horrific run with injury, and there's been challenges both on and off the field this year, but I think last week was a really good step for us going forward, and hopefully we can just continue to take those steps and play some good footy, get some confidence up, and the opportunities that are there for individuals, hopefully they can grab them.
Reece Shaw speaking there yesterday. Some bad news coming out of the Swans late last night as well, with John Longmire and the club confirming that Buddy Franklin will be put on ice for the rest of the year. He will not take part in season 2020, which is a real shame for those who are hoping to see a bit of Buddy magic come the end of the season, but Swans fans will have to wait until next year.
We've been sort of hoping that getting back this year, we've been working very hard towards that, and he was running and did a bit of training at the start of this week, and felt okay but without feeling great, and it just meant that we were just going to be really stuck for time, and we wanted to make a decision that was in his best interest, obviously in the club's best interest in regards to next season, and that means that a lot of work, a lot of strengthening work that needs to go into him and getting prepared for next year. If you look at what he was doing before Christmas this year, he was in really good form before Christmas and training well and looking great. Then he had his knee, and so it's been a couple of little things after that. So we're confident he'll get back to his best. And in regards to where he plays, I mean, I'm assuming he'll be playing forward line somewhere. He has that scope to go all over the place. We just got to get him right. I mean, that'll take care of itself. First and foremost, we just got to get him physically strong and make sure that he's ready to go to withstand not only the games, but in the first instance, the training that he'll need to do.
John Longmire speaking there yesterday. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning. There is a lot to keep you updated on throughout what will be a very busy Monday morning. Keep it locked on RSN. The Breakfast Club coming up after 6.